Proverbs chapter 6 here tonight. Proverbs chapter 6. And let me just say this. As we study this topic here tonight from Proverbs, some of us are saying, I need rest, not more work. But I want you to consider here, Proverbs was addressed to whom? To Rehoboam. Solomon addressed Rehoboam. And the clue in that is my son. How many times my son is repeated throughout the book of Proverbs. Now, as you look at how many times Solomon deals with the slothful person or the sluggard, you have the idea that Solomon didn't have much time for lazy people. You notice here, just by way of introduction here tonight, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. But let me just say this. We as adults who have a good work ethic need to pass that on to the next generation. You see, the younger generations in America don't know how to work in many cases. All right, so rarely do they have to do anything as they're growing up. You know, when we were growing up, we had to slop the pigs and we had to feed the cattle and all that on the farm until we moved to town. But throughout my growing up years, my brother and I had the responsibility of doing the dishes. Every once in a while, I surprise my wife, remind her that I can still do them. But working, and I believe it's a good thing to have a good work ethic. I want you to consider here, Solomon says, go to the ant thou sluggard, as he now addresses the sluggard. I don't know if he's addressing Rehoboam or not, but at this point, but he has some principles to share here. Go to the ant thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now let's define some terms here. First of all, the sluggard. We talk about somebody who's being lazy. The Bible refers to it as a sluggard. The sluggard is one who is habitually lazy or idle. Let me just say this. I do not believe it's wrong to take time to rest, to relax. I believe God tells us to do that because that's why God, after 6 days of creation, set the pattern for... God was not tired. God did not have to rest physically. But he set that pattern for us so that we have the pattern. That's why I believe it's ridiculous to think that creation is ages of time. The day-age theory. Because if that's the case, then we're working 6,000 years and then resting 1,000. It doesn't make sense. The evening and the morning were not the first period of time, as some of the Bible perversions say. It wasn't the first epoch of time. It was the first day. All right, so again, there were literal 24-hour days that God created. He set the pattern. But again, the sluggard is one who is habitually lazy or idle. The Bible also talks about the slothful, the one who's sluggish, slow, lazy, inactive, as a habit, habitual way of life. Slothfulness speaks of sluggishness, laziness, or inactivity. As far as Bible principles, as far as the sluggard or the slothful person, first of all, the sluggard or the slothful person needs authority over them to get anything done. Notice it says here in verse 6 and following again of Proverbs 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. All right, so we are to learn from the ant. As you watch ants, and I remember I found some good places where my grandma had whole nests of ants in this little ditch, that had a bunch of leaves in it. And to her horror, I would often sneak them into the house in jars. And she didn't like the ants in the house. She wanted them to stay out. But I'd spent some time as a kid studying ants. And I never saw an ant that had a stick and was driving the others on. Ants, by nature, are industrious. They don't have to have an authority over them telling them what to do. Again, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Right? So they prepare for the future here. But again, the sluggard needs authority over them to get anything done. Second of all, the slothful person also wastes time and opportunities. Notice it says here in verses 9 and 10 then, says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But again, the slothful person wastes time and opportunities. You don't need to turn there, but chapter 12, verse 27 says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. All right, so he puts forth effort to go out and hunt something, you know, deer or whatever. But then he's so lazy, he's so sluggish, he's so idle, he just leaves it out in the field and doesn't deal. I don't know. He just leaves it there and doesn't do anything with it. Again, he wastes time and opportunities. He only does a minimum effort that is required. How many times do you see somebody say, well, I've done what was expected of me? You know, the boss likes to see you go beyond what's just expected. In fact, Jesus tells a parable, you know, about the servant who goes out and works in the field all day. He says, you know, do you think that the master comes in, you know, when the servant comes in to the master says to the servant, you know, you've been working all day. Why don't you sit down and I'll serve you? He says, I trow not. He says, that's not what happens. The servant slaves out in the field all day long, and then he comes in and then serves his master first. And then he gives this principle about the servant who says, we've only done what is expected. Again, the sluggard, the slothful person, only does minimum effort. He may begin with enthusiasm, but quits before the task is finished. Again, he goes out and hunts, but he leaves what he shoots out in the field. He doesn't deal with it. They spend large amounts of time idle or doing things of little significance. I want you to notice Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. You know, when we think of Sodom and Gomorrah, we often think of abominations. But actually, Sodom and Gomorrah were under God's judgment before the abominations. I want you to notice this. Ezekiel 16, and I believe this is a condemnation of our culture today, America today. It says here in Ezekiel 16, verses 48 and following, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. What's God saying to Judah here? You know, you're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. That's quite a statement. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. All right, so pause there. Before you read it, pause there. What are we thinking about as far as Sodom? Why God wiped out the city, right? Notice here's the sins, the iniquity of Sodom. Right at the top of the list, pride. Fullness of bread. Abundance of idleness. That's the one that I want you to especially take notice in verse 49. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, not caring for those who have needs. They were haughty and committed abomination before me. That was the final judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. But again, abundance of idleness. I made a list in my notes here of some of the things that are common in our culture today. Sleeping late. I've been having a little trouble with allergies, and so my ears are somewhat plugged up in the morning. And so I usually put my alarm on my tablet out on the desk out in the living room. So if possible, my wife is finally, you know, resting that I don't wake her up. Well, one morning I slept, was it like 45 minutes to an hour past my alarms go off. I'm thinking, how in the world did that happen? I don't remember the last time I've slept through an alarm, but here's the one who has the problem with this, the one who is habitually sleeping in. I cannot imagine how people can sleep until noon. Now it's one thing if you're working third shift, everything's totally messed up when you're working third shift. But how can somebody, well, one thing is because they don't go to bed. I mean, that's the whole thing. I believe God created us to sleep on a schedule as much as possible. And I know it's, like I say, it messes everything up with third shift. I don't believe that's of God, by the way. But I've tried that a few times, and I last a few months, and it's like, Lord, this isn't working out. But every time I've tried that, I think, if I remember right, every time I've tried third shift jobs, never had a quiet place to sleep. And that was it right there. I mean, I know the one time I worked a third shift job at Super 8 and Ford Dodge, and we were transitioning there, and we were staying in our son Justin's mobile home, and it was a noisy, noisy mobile home park during the day. There was a park out across the street there. It's like, forget this. I'm done with this third shift job. I can't handle this anymore. So I thank God for the day that Justin came home and said, Dad, FedEx is hiring a temp driver. So praise the Lord, I'm going to go check it out. But sleeping late, Proverbs 26:14 says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. He rolls over one way, he rolls over another. He rolls over one way, again, he's just turning like a door hinge. Also, hours of television and movies, just sitting around doing nothing, watching something. Again, you know, anytime I've done that over the years, at the end of those hours of watching TV, it's like, what did I accomplish? What did I just accomplish? Video games. I've said this before. In fact, this is one of the messages I often preached in the Christian school. There's going to be no reward at the judgment seat of Christ for making it to another level in a video game. That's not of God. But again, all these hours upon hours of video games, surfing the internet, that is one of the traps, I believe, for our modern day. All it takes is, well, I wonder what that link is. You know, they'll have a link to a news article. So then you have to check out that news article. Well, that article has a link to this. And so then you end up spending all kinds of time following the links, surfing the internet, listening to music while lounging around, just listening to my tunes. I want you to think about this. Spending hour after hour after hour, that's a waste. Also, excessive hobbies and leisure activities. I don't believe it's, again, wrong to have a hobby, a leisure activity. But you think about the person who spends hours golfing and even misses church for golf. I mean, you think about somebody hits a hole-in-one on Sunday, you know, and they miss church to go golfing. Who can they tell about it at church, you know? But, you know. But all these hobbies and leisure activities that are out of balance, excessive amounts of time for those things. Again, I believe that's abundance of idleness. Hours just talking with friends. I'm not talking about fellowship. I'm not talking about time visiting with people. I'm talking about kids who just hang out and do nothing but just talk to their friends. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Young people who are just hanging out on a street corner or at the mall or whatever, they're headed for trouble. Why? Because abundance of idleness leads to boredom. Boredom leads to mischief and getting into trouble. Again, hours just talking with friends, hanging out with no purpose. I think also about sports. You know, watching multiple three-hour football games on Saturday. How can you do that? At any time I've ever tried that over the years, at the end of it, I think, what a waste. Not only that, but I think of NASCAR. Just watching cars zooming around. It's like, we had a friend in Ohio that said, he was a big NASCAR fan, but he said as he would watch NASCAR on Sunday afternoon, he said, you know, watch the first part of the race, and he took his nap, and he woke up in time to see who won. But again, all of this abundance of idleness. Now, sluggards are costly to an employer because they destroy morale and have slow productivity. Proverbs 18:9 says, he that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. But again, the slothful person wastes time and opportunities. Number three, the slothful person also tends to be poorer than the diligent. Notice Proverbs 6, verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. One that traveleth speaks of a homeless drifter, a vagrant. Notice also Proverbs 10 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now, again, that's not a promise, you know, that, hey, if I'm diligent, I'll be rich someday. That's you know, because again, there's warnings about that as well. But again, as we'll see here, the one who's diligent tends to be more prosperous. Notice also Proverbs 20, verse 4. While you're turning there, Proverbs 19:15 says, an idle soul shall suffer hunger. But then Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. But again, he won't plow. Well, it's kind of cold, so I'm going to wait. And so then he doesn't get his crops in. And so then it says he begs in harvest and shall have nothing. Also, chapter 24. Proverbs 24 verses 33 and 34. Again, as we're seeing here, Solomon had much to say about the person who, as we would call today, lazy. Proverbs 24, verse 33 and 34. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You know, just kind of kicking back on the hammock or the couch, folding the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Stick them up. Thy want as an armed man. Armed robbery. That's what he's talking about here. You know, but yet the sluggard, the poor person will say, or I'm sorry, the lazy person will say, I just don't ever have anything. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But again, the sluggard tends to be poorer than the diligent. Number four, the sluggard causes pain and frustration. Proverbs 10:26 says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. My wife can give a personal illustration of this. We've been dealing with a lot of cigarette smoke blowing up into our apartment. We can't ever leave anything open. And even when things are closed sometimes, it's coming into our apartments. We're ready to get out of there. But I got home, was it yesterday? And she had the air purifier on high, and she had all kinds of, but again, smoke to the eyes. You know, you think about when somebody's grilling and it really gets smoking. I mean, that's something, that's when I get out of the way because I can't handle all that stuff in my face. But again, smoke to the eyes speaks of something that is an irritation. Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns. I mean, think about that. It's as an hedge of thorns. All right, so you brush against a hedge of thorns and it scratches and pokes. But again, it's painful. So the sluggard causes pain and frustration. Number five, he also misses leadership opportunities. Why? Because he's a sluggard. Notice chapter 12, verse 24. Well, they always bypass me for promotions. I don't understand it. I'm gonna sue the company. They have all kinds of things they want to say. But notice here, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Well, there's a reason why they're often overlooked as far as a promotion. Well, if they're doing the bare minimum that is required, why should somebody put them in charge of something? Because then everybody's going to be doing the bare minimum that is required. So again, they miss opportunities of leadership. Number six, they lack self-motivation in the simplest of tasks. Notice it says in chapter 19, Proverbs 19, verse 24. I want you to think about the word picture of this verse. Solomon had quite a way with words. Of course, this is the word of God, but Solomon, as the wisest man, was expressing these things. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. He hides his hands. He can't even bring his hand back up to his mouth. Again, you notice the word picture there. They lack self-motivation in the simplest of tasks. Chapter 26, verse 15 says, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it to his mouth, again to his mouth. But then, this is something else too. Chapter 20, verse 4. Mentioned this a moment ago. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Notice he also offers excuses to avoid work. Sometimes they work harder at avoiding work than just doing the work. I've seen that over the years. Well, it's uncomfortable. You know, after all, it's cold. Well, I wonder how much would not get done because of the cold. You know, not all of us are able to live in Hawaii, which actually it got a little chilly there at times. But, you know, we were up on the mountain, remember, 2,600 feet. But you know, it would warm up to the 80s. You know, not everyone can live in Hawaii or Texas. You know, someone has to live in Minnesota. You know, after all, there's that state there. And who's ever lived in North Dakota? I remember years ago, they were talking about removing the name North from North Dakota. It's like, it doesn't matter if you change the name. It's still bitterly cold. It's like, you can change all you want to. But again, you think about it's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. Maybe fear. But here's the one exaggeration. Chapter 22, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Now, let me just say, culturally, this could be possible. Because in Bible times, there still were lions in Israel. But here's the point. Here's what Solomon is saying. The slothful man will exaggerate his excuses to avoid work. But again, exaggeration. There's a lion in the street. Now, let me just say this. Down in South Texas, you could almost use that excuse, because there were actually mountain lions that one of the ranchers in the church down there, every once in a while, would have to take his helicopter out and hunt down the mountain lions, because what the mountain lion would do is kill his exotic game animals on the ranch there, because they would have exotic game hunters come down there to his ranch and, you know, shoot an elk or whatever. But what these mountain lions would often do is they'd kill an animal, feed on it, and then go off and kill another animal. And so literally he had to use his helicopter to hunt down these mountain lions. But again, there's a lion in the street. I can't go out and work yet. Number 8, he desires many things that are never realized. Chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. The desire of the slothful killeth him. Notice his desire is killing him. Oh, I just can't handle this anymore. For his hands, notice the word, refuse to labor. Well, there's why he doesn't have anything, because he refuses to work for it. But notice the desire killeth him. He coveteth greedily all the day long. But the righteous giveth and spareth not. You notice here the righteous, because they're working, have the opportunity to give and spareth not. But notice again, this slothful man, this sluggard, this lazy person, is coveting greedily. That phrase literally speaks of desire upon desire. But notice here, because he doesn't work, his desires are never fulfilled or never realized. Number 9, he neglects his responsibilities. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 30. Solomon, notice, went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And then he says again, a little sleep and a little slumber and so on. Notice again, he neglects his responsibilities. Number 10, he thinks himself to be wiser than those who truly know. Have you ever noticed a lazy person often will be very opinionated? Notice it says here in chapter 26, verse 16. Proverbs 26, verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Notice what he said. What Solomon is saying here. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven people that actually have an answer, a right answer. So again, he thinks himself to be wiser than those who truly know. So what hope is there for a slothful person? First of all, the slothful person must repent of the sin of laziness. We'll take a look at this here in a moment. But again, the Bible calls it sin. Also, we must learn from the ant. Again, the ant prepares for the future, gathers in harvest before the cold hits, and also works without supervision. I want you to notice this in Ephesians chapter 6. I remember preaching a sermon on this at the Christian school. Because as elementary principal, I noticed that there were a lot of men pleasers in our school. Yeah, when the teacher wasn't looking and when the principal wasn't around, they didn't bother doing their work. When all of a sudden the door opened up and the elementary principal walked in, oh yeah, all of a sudden, the teacher's saying, go over there, talk to that person over there. Notice what it says here in Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 5 and following. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Notice whether he's a slave or whether he's free. And ye masters, do the same unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Now, I don't remember totally how many routes my boss has. Again, FedEx Ground is set up as a contractor type of arrangement with FedEx. But my boss has somewhere around 20 routes, and there's another contractor that has about that many as well. There is absolutely no way my boss can follow everybody around Lincoln and various places to make sure everybody's doing their work. Well, now they have these modern little conveniences that they can plug into the trucks to show you RPMs and speed and all those kinds of things. And you remember back in when it was snowing and all that, I was thankful for that because it showed that I was going 5 miles per hour before that teenager slid his car into my truck. So FedEx evidently threw it out because I never heard anymore. So you know, it's like, but it's nice that they let me know anyway. But you think about this. Many will only work when the boss is around. But let me just say it this way. That's why I have the route that I do today. The guy that had the route, just before peak, they put him on a late route to do all the late pickups and everything on his way out the door. Why? Because he was a sluggard. He would spend more hours than is necessary doing a smaller route. But I want you to think about this. Many are a man pleaser. Young people, I want you to listen up. Listen very carefully. You are a man pleaser, if you only do your schoolwork when somebody's watching. I know a lot of our young people are homeschooled. So when mom walks in or dad walks in, oh yeah, I got to work. I'm supposed to get my schoolwork done. When the teacher walks in, oh, I got to get my work done. You're a man pleaser. That's what the Bible says. You're only working when the authority is around. You're not working like an ant. Again, the Bible says we are to go to the ant and learn from the ant. They work without supervision. Number three, the hope for the slothful person. Remember judgment day. Here's what I want you to see, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Remember I said that slothfulness is actually a sin. Notice it says in Matthew 25, there's a word that's associated with slothfulness that I want you to see here. Matthew chapter 25, verses 26 through 28. Let me just say this, parents. Children should have time to be children. Yeah. They shouldn't have to work 8 hours a day and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to consider, though, children need to learn how to work, though. I was a custodian in a place in Ohio that was a very wealthy area. In fact, I found out that the school district refused state funds so that they didn't have to be bound to what the state required. Because Lewis Center, Ohio, at that point was one of the fastest growing areas in the nation. And literally, they had more money than they knew what to do with. And literally, a lot of those young people had maids cleaning their room. Young people, your parents should not have to tell you to make your bed every day. I tell you what, when I was growing up, if we didn't pick up our toys, we lost our toys. And still to this day, I don't know if my dad ever told me where he actually hid those things. And the farm where we learned that principle, the house and everything is all gone now. There's a machine shed up there now on that farm. Everything's tore down. So, my dad couldn't even probably tell me where to look to find out where he was hiding those things. Literally, we were playing with our fingers with our metal barn because we lost all of our animals for our barn as a child. But again, as you think about this, they need to learn how to work. But notice it says here in verse 26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, chapter 25, I was in the wrong chapter here, 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, again, this is the stewardship of the talents. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Notice the word that goes with wicked there, or with slothful, I should say, wicked. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So again, we see here, judgment day is coming. We must remember someday we're going to give an account of how we use the opportunities God gives to us. Number four, redeem the time. We'll take time to look at these passages, but more than once, God tells us to redeem the time. That does not mean manage time. A lot of these companies have made a lot of money on time management tools and all that. The Bible doesn't tell us to manage time. The Bible tells us to redeem the time. The word redeemed, even as we were saying redeemed earlier, it means to buy up something. We are to make the most of every opportunity that others miss. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Put forth great effort into it." Psalm 90 verse 12 says we are to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. But again, small amounts each time add up over time. That's what it means to redeem the time, to buy up the moments. Number five, receive instruction from lazy people, sluggards. So how do we avoid these things? To learn. Even as Solomon says, I went past the field, I went past the wall of the slothful person. And it says that Solomon learned a lesson from, maybe that's why he worked so hard. I believe he got that out of balance in some ways as you look at the book of Ecclesiastes. But he received instruction from the sluggard. Laziness destroys. It ruins lives, reputations, families, finances. We also think of neglected responsibilities that affect everything about our lives. As you think about what the Bible says, diligence reaps God's blessings. What is diligence? I wrote this definition down that I came across. Diligence is doing common things uncommonly well. If I remember right, one of our presidents said that. I don't remember now, but diligence is doing common things uncommonly well. You know, we often think when somebody is diligent, you know, they're just doing all kinds of things that are unnecessary. No, they're doing great and mighty things. No, diligence actually is doing the common everyday things uncommonly well. The diligent person, as we see in Scripture, will have a better financial standing. In fact, Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness." Again, I don't believe the Bible promises, oh yeah, we'll have, be wealthy and you have all these riches. That's not necessarily what the Bible's talking about. But you notice plenteousness. We'll have plenty. The diligent person will have plenty. Also satisfaction. Proverbs 13 verse 4. I forgot I was going to write that down here in my notes. Proverbs 13 verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." You know, we usually think of getting fat. The word fat there actually speaks of satisfied. Notice the soul of the diligent will be what? Satisfied. Satisfaction. But also leadership and authority. The diligent person, it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, again in Proverbs 12, 24. But also recognition. As we close, notice with me Proverbs 22, verse 29. I don't believe that this is the goal, should be the goal of the diligent person. But here's what Solomon says will often result. Recognition. Notice Proverbs 22, 29. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Now, when we think of the word mean, let's define terms. We often think of somebody who's not nice. Actually, this word mean here in this context refers to somebody who's average, who's common. Notice what Solomon says here. The diligent person will stand before uncommon men, known men. Again, recognition. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before common or unknown men." But again, the Bible speaks very highly of diligence and speaks very poorly of slothfulness. In this day of Americans, you know, we're coming up on 4th of July, and you know, I don't believe it's wrong to have a day off and all those things. But let me just say it this way. Americans live for those times. The average work week, and again, I know several of our men are wishing for a little bit of time to rest. But the average work week in America has actually dropped, if I remember right, like 20 hours a week. Not only that, but our government at one point was trying to mandate less than 40 hours. Remember, that's why so many big employers were talking about cutting everybody back to 28 hours a week because of the insurance issue. You know, if we hire a bunch of part-time people, then we don't have to pay them insurance. When the government starts mandating those things, we better watch out, because we will be just like Greece. They are bankrupt as a nation. And it almost bankrupt the entire European Union. Union. I'm trying to remember the name. The number of holidays that Greece has. It's by far more than Americans have. I'm wanting to say it's 100 days a year. In fact, I get emails from a missionary in Thessaloniki. There still is a Thessalonica in the modern day. He's a missionary in Thessaloniki. And he said there's weeks upon weeks where they have very little outreach in the downtown area because everybody's gone to the beach. Everybody's left town. I mean, he said it's amazing. Just weeks when nobody's around because of all their holidays, all their breaks. And then they make demands from the government because they're not getting enough. That's where America's heading in our welfare mentality. Yeah. Well, you remember, just following up on that, you remember when the government was supposedly starting to crack down on people here illegally in America? I remember hearing that down in, I think it was the state of Alabama, all of a sudden the farms lost all their workers. My first thought was, well, supposedly there's this huge unemployment rate in America. Why aren't Americans going down there looking for those jobs? Because Americans don't know how to work in a large part anymore. In fact, I was going to mention this as far as our college students here in America. Often, I had to work my way through college for the most part. Now, you know, you just get grants and loans. And then here's the amazing thing. So if you have a student that has $100,000, for example, in student loans, they marry somebody who has $100,000 in student loans. As soon as they get married, they have $200,000 in student loans. And then they try to get a mortgage. No wonder there's so much financial ruin in our modern day. But they don't have to work. They grow up not working. They go to school not working. So how do we expect them to work when they get out in the work field? America's got it all wrong. The Bible has an answer for that. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to study your word here tonight. Lord, I just thank you for the diligence that I have observed in our church family. And Lord, that's not why I was preaching this here tonight. Father, I want for us to make sure we emphasize this to the next generation. How many times over the years I've seen a diligent generation, and Lord, they tend to have more things, financial prosperity, and then they hand it over to the next generation that doesn't know how to work. They end up losing it all. Father, how many times I've seen that over the years. Father, I pray that you'd help us. It's often referred to as a biblical work ethic. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to understand the importance of diligence. Lord, I pray for those who care for the home. Lord, that they'd realize that that is a responsibility and a duty before you. Just thank you, Lord, that we have ladies that are diligent in caring for their homes. Father, I pray again that you'd help us to be people with diligence. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.